Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Swing from the Hips, episode 27, I believe. Well, I'm not too sure. We're on holiday mode, and it's a holiday episode that we're going to bring to you today because everybody's still on holiday, so I'm here by myself. So we're just going to do things rather quickly and go through the games that have been on since we had our last episode. So come on in and come and make comments in the old comments section. Join me for the chat, and we'll see where it takes us. Now, basically, since we were on air last week, we've had the kickoff of the local New Zealand Plunkett Shield, which is the four-day tournament that is played here in New Zealand. And it's been an interesting round. We've had three outright results, and we'll talk about those basically very shortly. We'll also go through the IPL, and there'll be some interesting times in the IPL. Now, we are starting to get to the business end of the season. Basically, we've got about a week and a half until we go into the finals, into the playoffs, the eliminators and the quarterfinal matches, so to speak. And so let's get into it. First of all, good evening to Simon. Hope you're doing well. This is like Simon's looking forward to the Zimbabwe-Pakistan series starting on Friday. Now, as I said, I've been on holiday mode. I've only just got back today from being away, so haven't looked at that series. But, Simon, if you can drop in a few things in there, I'll make sure I mention them. But moving right along, as I mentioned earlier, the Plunkett Shield kicked off this week. Three outright results, and the first of all, we're going to go over. Let's do the we'll leave the most interesting one to last. We're going to start off with Wellington and Canterbury. This was played at the Basin Reserve. Now, I'll just bring up the summary. There's the summary. Come on, summary. Here we go. And there we go. So here's the summary of what happened in the game. Interesting first day. Wellington, well, actually not first day, because the first day they only got about 20 overs in, and then they came back and Canterbury were able to bowl Wellington out for 65. Now, of that 65, Devon Conway making a healthy contribution of 31, so a black captain waiting. And the next highest scorer was Ruchin Ravindra with 8. So, yeah, Wellington really struggling big time on the at the Basin. Now, if you saw any footage of this, and I did see some highlights of this game, and this is actually a common theme across a few of the grounds, is that the pitch looked pretty much like it was part of the outfield. So that was rather interesting. Just to answer to Simon, I believe the NZC, if you go to the NZC website, you're able to pick up a stream from one end. And I'm pretty sure that is the case, because I know with the Auckland match, which we'll come to a bit later, you were able to get wicket highlights or even sort of like match highlights as well for 50s and 100s through the Twitter stream. So following them, Auckland Aces on Twitter, you'd get the updates with wickets, etc. So I'm pretty sure that if you go to NZC, you can click on a link that will take you through to a stream of the game. Now I'm looking through to that. So the first innings, Matt Henry, Black Caps there, and Daryl Mitchell, who's moved from Northern down to Canterbury. Matt Henry picking up 4 for 22, and Daryl Mitchell picking up a rather handy 2 for 5 off just 4 overs. So not a long lasting innings. Actually, was able to get some footage or mentions in Australia about how low Wellington's are getting bowled out for 65, as I say, on the second day. Canterbury in reply, faring, well, better, I suppose you could say. They got through to 156 and they were all out. A couple of their regulars over the last few seasons, Chad Bowes and Ken McClure, getting the bulk of their runs there. Chad Bowes with 34 and Ken McClure 32. Hamish Bennett and Ian Peak, the pick of the bowlers of McPeak, sorry, the pick of the bowlers for Wellington. Hamish Bennett picking up 4 for 28. Now, if I remember correctly, Hamish Bennett at one time played for Canterbury. So there's a couple of swap arounds happening around the season. Now, coming back after that, Wellington would have been hoping to get a decent total on the board to try and challenge Canterbury and leave them something that they could try and bowl at in terms of trying to dismiss Canterbury for the win. But wasn't to be. They were bowled out for 212. Again, Devin Conway showing the class that he is going to bring at two international level. He's top scored with 81. And then Logan Van Beek, who's actually lower down in the order as a bowler, I believe, he was second top scorer with 21. So basically, yeah, Wellington bowled out for 212. A great buy in the like looks of Daryl Mitchell being a great buy there from Northern, picking up 4 for 57 in that second innings. Bowled a few more overs in the second innings, bowled 22 overs as opposed to the 4. And Will Williams also picking up a really good tally there at 4 for 35 off his just short of 19 overs. Now, Canterbury really didn't need too many. They only needed 126 to pull off the full outright victory. And Tom Latham, good to see Black Caps. Opener, I suppose you'd say, picking up 86, and Canterbury getting through quite comfortably at 126 for 2. Obviously, the pitch settling down when we look at the first innings totals for both Wellington and Canterbury with 65 and 156 respectively. The pitch has obviously settled down somewhat there, and Latham able to get through to 86. Chad Bowes with a not a bad little double there for him with 29, following up his high score of 34 for the Cantabs in the first innings. For Wellington, Ruchin Ravindra, who's obviously a part-time bowler, I suppose, I mean, really is his batting is his forte, picking up 2 for 32 off 3.5 overs. So he took a bit of tap, but he picked up a couple of wickets. So, I don't know how it would take what you will from that. But basically, Canterbury picking up all the points there in terms of the outright, getting a first innings win, and then following that up with the outright result. So that's the first match there that kicked off in the Plunkett Shield. And moving on, we're going to go to a game that started a day later, and that was the Otago Auckland game. So bring that up and just make it so you can see it a bit better. Now, here we go. Otago, they were sent in. Auckland won the toss there and sent Otago in. Really struggled. I mean, when you look at Michael Rippon scoring 106 of the 186 runs, and then you look at Max Chu scoring 42, you're looking at both of them combined scoring 148 runs of the 186. So Otago, outside of those two, really did struggle to get to grips with another, you might say, green top. But, you know, again, I think we'll see in this match it wasn't as bad as the Wellington-Canterbury game or the Northern-Central game. So, again, there. So Kyle Jamieson, the big destroyer there, he really did rip into the vaults there with 5 for 39 off his 12 overs. you could quibble and say it's a bit expensive, but I think with men all around the bat, you're going to get a few edges going for boundaries, aren't you? And Dunroo Ferns picking up 3 for 44. And it was a good match for Dunroo Ferns, and we'll come to that in a second. But, yeah, that was Otago's innings of 186. In reply, Auckland got 369 for 9 declared. Now, Ben Horn, the big contributor there, fantastic innings there for Ben Horn. 162 really did anchor the Auckland innings. And Martin Guptill picking up 65. Now, at one stage, Auckland were going along quite nicely with Martin Guptill. Lost a few early wickets, and Martin Guptill seemed to be settling things. And then Auckland looked to be in a spot of bother and possibly even struggling to eclipse Otago's first innings of 186. And that's when Ben Horn and Dunroo Ferns came together. And they had a very good partnership. Obviously, Ben Horn, the big contributor there with the 162. But they're the ones that basically saw Auckland through to the big total of 369 for 9 declared. Excuse me. I just have to better have a sip of water there. Anywho, so as I said, Auckland making it through to a pretty decent total in the end after looking a bit dicey there in the middle of the innings. Jacob Duffy picking up 3 for 60 and Nathan Smith picking up 2 for 19 off his 15 overs. Very economical overs when it's only 19 runs have gone off it. So basically, Auckland declared, as said, 369. Otago come back in and it was a catastrophe from woe to go. All out for 54. Now, Wellington made headlines across the Tasman for their 65. I don't know what happened with Otago's 54, whether that made any headlines, because that, as I said, was catastrophe. Let's consider, out of the 54, Anuru Kitchen scored 30 of those runs. Hamish Rutherford was the next highest scorer on 9. So, as you can see, it was a pretty much sorry state of affairs for Otago, and an interesting destroyer for the Aces in the second innings again for the Volts there. Sean Solier picking up 5 wickets for 8 runs. That's a phenomenal return. And I mean, Sean Solier, seen as a sort of like your fourth seamer, I suppose, in the side. And so he's coming in there to pick up 5 for 8. That's a fantastic return. Kyle Jameson, you know, wrapping up a very good match for himself, and he scored 3 for 6. Now, I'm just going to go to the full scoreboard on that. The reason being, we look at, if we look at Dunroo Ferns, 63 in that first inning. So he's coming in at 11, 9. It was the 9th wicket. It was a record 9th wicket partnership of just over 200 for Auckland. So Dunroo Ferns getting 63. And then if we scroll down, he followed that up in that second innings. He picked up a few wickets there to pick up the wicket as well. And then in the first innings, if we just go back up there, I believe he got picked up 3. So 4 wickets and return of 63 runs. Fantastic effort for Dunroo Ferns there. I'm sure he'll be rather happy with that return. Auckland picking up the outright and the first innings win there. And so we come to the third match, which actually kicked off on the same day, as a day earlier than the Auckland game, same day as Wellington and Canterbury. And this was Northern versus Central. This was being played at Seddon Park in Hamilton. And interesting times here. Now, basically, the first 2 days, they got, I think they got something like 30 or 40 overs in the first 2 days or 3 days even. So there was a lot of forfeiting of innings. So Northern, basically, if we bring up this summary here, first innings, Northern put the foot down a little bit and 253 for 8 declared. Central Districts forfeited their first innings. So that means that Northern picked up the first innings points from that match. But what we were looking here is that Northern and Central were trying to manufacture an outright result for one of them. So Central forfeited their first innings and Northern forfeited their second innings. And that meant that Central were left with 254 to try and get the outright. Now, I thought this was rather a generous declaration by Northern Districts. You know, chasing 250-odd with more than 60 overs is a rather generous declaration. And I think Central were basically odds on to try and pick that up. Now, we've got to look at this pitch. Although it looked like the outfield, it was a typical Seddon Park pitch, which looks green, but you don't necessarily get that sideways movement. We look at the two top scorers for Northern in that first inning. It was Jeet Raval and Henry Koopner that were the openers, and they were there for basically two and a bit days, I think. Or Jeet might have been, and Henry Cooper might have been dismissed on that second day. But, yeah, top scoring with 68 and 58. So it doesn't look like, I mean, you had to watch for batting, but it wasn't absolutely difficult. So we saw that. And that was sort of more, I think showing out in that batting wasn't too difficult, and it was a rather generous declaring from Northern. Because George Worker and Greg Hay, basically, after a couple of early wickets, or three early wickets really for, two early wickets for Central, they saw Central through to the total. Now, George Worker will be kicking himself. 96. What does Neil Wagner bowl him? A short pitch ball down leg side, and George Worker on 96 proceeds to hit the ball, hook it straight down to fine leg's throat, where it was swallowed. So George Worker, basically with an easy 100 in sight, basically throwing his wicket away there with plenty of time left as well. Anywho, that was basically wrapped up by Central, 254 for 3. Neil Wagner picking up 3 wickets for 65 off his 17 overs. And that was basically the win for Central. Nothing much more to write home about there. So we'll just bring up the table after the first round. Now, the reason I want to bring up the table, what we'll see is I've still got to get my head around this. And this is why I brought up the table. So we had Auckland and Canterbury got 2 first innings and second innings. So total outright results there. So we see Auckland got 18 and Canterbury got on 16 points. Now, you do get bonus batting and bowling points. Now, I haven't got my head around that. I had a read of it and I was trying to understand how you get the bonus points, and I'm still trying to understand what's going on there. Anywho, so that's how Auckland's actually got, obviously picked up a couple of extra batting and bowling points and ended up on 18. Canterbury there was 16. Now, this is where, so Wellington, Northern picking up 2 bonus points for their first innings points. And Central picking up the 15. So, in fact, Wellington, as poorly as they did against Canterbury, somehow managed to pick up enough bowling and batting points that they got 4 points and are ahead of Northern, who actually managed to get a first innings win, for want of a term. Anywho, that is the Plunkett Shield, and we'll try and work it out for you on how those extra points come along, and I'll have another sip of water. Moving along, and we're now moving into the IPL, and it's been an interesting time since we last saw you last Monday with the IPL. We were basically, I'm going to go to the table first, actually, because there's a big mover on the table, and that is the Kings 11 Punjab, and there they are there on 10 points. Now, they have had a fantastic streak since we last spoke. I think when we last spoke, they just won their first game in quite some time. They were looking like they were basically dog tucker for the IPL 2020 season. And we will come to somebody, a team that is dog tucker. Well, looks like it, the way that they're performing anyway. But anyway, Kings 11 Punjab have put together 4 wins on the trot. And we can see those green W's at the end there. And one of their wins was a miraculous win. And that was basically just a couple of days ago, or yesterday, in fact. Can I get the scorecard up? There we go. Here's the scorecard. This is the Kings 11 versus Sunrisers Hyderabad. Now, the Kings 11 did what Kings 11 do, and they got a pretty paltry 126 off their 20 overs. And this is something that the Kings 11 have basically been doing all season. The innings just never took off. It was basically hovering around the 6 runs and over for the entire 20 overs. And when we look at the scores down here, KL Rahul at the top of the order, Mandeep Singh, you know, Chris Gayle just starts to get going and then goes out. Puran, Glenn Maxwell, disappointing again, the big show. And if you look down there, nobody's really traveling more than run a ball, you know, just over run a ball type thing. Even Chris Gayle, as I said, was pretty slow. And then just as he got going, he got out and therefore ended up at run a ball. So they ended up on a pretty weak 126. And if we go to the Sunrisers Hyderabad score chart, look at this. So now we've got David Warner and Johnny Bairstow at the top. David Warner going at 175, so they got a cracking start, an absolutely fantastic start. And even Johnny Bairstow, who was obviously just holding up an end for a while, then basically started to get his strike rate going and got 19. So, you know, they were doing very well. And in fact, if we got it there, yeah, they were, you know, 1 for 56 after 6.2. So they were, at one stage, they were actually going at 10 runs and over. After the first five overs, they're going at 10s. But then, I don't know, the wheels just absolutely fell off the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Not sure what the story is Kane Williamson is, if he's injured or whether he was just given a rest. I can't imagine he was dropped. He's been one of their top performers, so I'm guessing he's got an injury of some sort. And as I said, the wheels just fell off. Look at the back end, the tail. Three ducks to finish off with. And an absolute bizarre run out off the last, second to last ball of the innings, where the Kahil Ahmed jogged through for the single and was run out quite comfortably. And he was just jogging through. He stood there for it, just took a couple of steps and then jogged through for a single. So it was rather bizarre. Sunrisers Hyderabad would be absolutely gutted to lose that game, where from a position where basically with about six overs to go, they needed only something like 20 runs. So realistically speaking, that's one that, yeah, there we go. So at the 16 over mark, they needed 27 runs. Pretty much these days in a T20, that's a given. Lay down Nazir, you back, put the points on the board. But no, basically there's some poor batting. I'll give you an example, Rashid Khan. He had a pretty sort of a short of a full length ball outside off stump, and he's managed to carve it out to the offside to the man on the boundary, where he could have hit that anywhere, just the slightest bit straighter. He could have got closer to the ball, hit that a bit straighter, and it would have been four or six. And instead, he's carved it straight out to the man on the squarish boundary. And he's only just come in. It was his first ball. So realistically, that's not what they needed. Holder was another one, just when they needed to basically settle and play the innings out. They really tried to get home in a rush and they didn't need to. So they threw it away, but good on the Kings 11 because they've picked up their fourth W in a row. And if we go back to that, just go back to that table, we'll see Kings 11 now up to 10 points. So they're basically two outside, and we can see Rajasthan Royals and Chennai Super Kings have actually played an extra game. So Kings 11... Punjab, are basically just sitting outside the four now and put themselves into contention big time. And the big thing for them is that they're on a roll. They've got four games in a row. One thing they are going to have to look at is they're going to have to up their scoring rate. Just going to go back and just show you, just if we look at, so it was today they got 126. Previously, they got 167, which is not too bad, and they were able to restrict DC. Oh, sorry, so they were able to overcome the Delhi Capitals, 164. And then they won in the super over against the Mumbai Indians. And I think, what's the other one? They so 177. So, yeah, they've just got to carry on at those rates that they were previously and just start upping them. They will get run down if they're not careful, if they don't put enough runs on the board. Well, that's obvious I'm saying that. But, yeah, I think the run rates just need to be looked at and they need to get that revving up a bit. So there we have, as I said, the talking point for the week is definitely the Kings 11 Punjab. They really have come from the bottom of the table and put themselves back in contention. One of the ones that we're really starting to write off now for sure is the Chennai Super Kings. First time, they're saying, in how many seasons that the Chennai Super Kings will not have made the playoffs. And I think it's pretty much done and dusted. They're going to have a big clean out at the Super Kings. I've got a lot of aged players, for want of a term. I'm just going to see if I can bring up the squad. And if you look at, we've got Dhoni, Tahir, Shane Watson. I said these are the guys that they're rolling out. I'm not sure what's happened to Ravindra Jadeja. I mean, obviously not really performing. But, yeah, when we look at that strike power, Faf du Plessis started off really well. I mean, it was at the top of that batting table for runs scored, but they really just have fallen away and they're just not getting the runs that they need. And I said, I think Dhoni and Watson really just, they're going to have to get some fresh talent for next season, which I believe starts early next year anyway. So the 2021 season be starting early next year. They're going to have to be looking at their playing squad because they really just aren't cutting it this season. They're going to have to go back to the drawing board and look at where things are going wrong. As I said, from what I've been reading, it looks like their season here is over. So we're just going to go now to the stats table. And give me a moment. I'll bring that up. If that plays, it's not playing ball with me at the moment, I'll just go home and see if that helps out. Come on. Come on. Let's go all time. Nope, by season. There we go. Come on. There we go. And here we go. So just bringing that up. KL Rahul still at the top of the leaderboard there. 567 runs. So he's nearly 90-odd runs clear of the next top batter. But one thing is he's going to have to work on his run, his strike rate. It is, I mean, when you look at his average is actually very high at 63. I said he's 90 runs clear of the next best batsman. But his strike rate is probably something that he'll be wanting to look at as they move to the business end of the season, especially if they really want to break into that top four. Good news for the for the BCCI is that you look at the top order there, you're still looking at Rahul, Dhawan, Kohli, Agarwal, Iyer, and you know making up the top players that are scoring those runs. Faf du Plessis, surprised to see him there. Considering how the Chennai Super Kings are going. Obviously, Faf is doing well, but there's not getting the support around him. And so he really needs to get some of those other players in the Super Kings to start to perform. And also just looking at rounding out the top 10, Nicholas Perun. Fantastic strike rate for Nicholas Perun at number 11. Probably just needs to sort of make sure he's in there a bit longer. And we'll see the Kings 11 do even better. So you've got Puran there with a really good strike rate for the Kings 11. And then you've got Karel Rahul at the top, who's basically just a batting machine at the moment, just wants up that strike rate. Puran wants to stick around a bit longer. And I think the Kings 11 could turn things around quite nicely if they keep that momentum going with those four wins on a trot already. Moving to the wickets. Rabada from the Delhi Capitals still in number one position. He's maintaining that. And if we look at that, what's that? A good six wickets clear of the next closest. And with a match in hand over Archer as well. So looking at that, doing really well. 23 wickets. Economy rate's still fantastic, really, at 7.64. Jofra Archer's probably at 6.71, really, sort of the wickets and economy combination doing really well. Some of the spin bowlers are starting to sort of fall by the wayside. Looks like the faster bowlers are coming to the fore when now you look at Archer, Bumrah, and Shami basically starting to look at the – well, in fact, Rabada at the top, I should say, Archer, Bumrah, and Shami. And Chahal, the first spin option, coming in at number five now in terms of the most wickets. For the Mumbai – and so Mumbai Indians looking good for in terms of bowlers with Bumrah and Bolt still going along quite nicely. Just scrolling down there a bit, and Lockie Ferguson, if he's not going to really pop up there, but Lockie Ferguson going really well in terms of the number of balls over 150. So he's leading that table, even though he's played far less games than anybody else. So just going along there, and we're just going to look at now the economy. See who's being economical. Bowling economy, there we go. Oh, and there's that, the man we just talked about, Lockie Ferguson. Look at that, 5.16. Only had three matches. Again, not sure what's happening there, whether he's now he's played a few games, he's got a, picked up any little sniggle or something. Basically, he's played three games, he's picked up five wickets, and he's absolutely going gangbusters in the games that he has played. So he's picking up wickets and being rather economical. Rashid Khan. So we're still looking at a couple of spinners there in the economy. And Chris Morris, with a few games under his belt. Interesting to see Mitchell Statton has only played one game for Chennai. Maybe he needs a few more games so that they can be a bit more competitive, because he's up the top there in terms of the economy statistics. So need to get him out there a bit more, I think. So again, spinners in terms of the economy being the better options. But the faster bowlers picking up the wickets. So that's basically going through that. Now, just something I was, anybody who saw, just going to comment on anybody who saw the Joshua Archer catch today. And I was like, oh, what a phenomenal catch. Well, it's like, it's a good catch. It's the bench that was watching it. That's me and my son. We sort of gave it about 8 out of 10 at best. There's just the commentators waxing lyrical. The dude's going backwards, puts a hand up and catches it with one hand. No big shakes to me, tell you the truth. It was a good catch, don't get me wrong, but it's not something that you're going to wax lyrical over big time like that. Now, just going back to the match schedule and see what we've got coming up this week. So, again, Kings 11 Punjab, big game for them tonight. Last time they played the Knight Riders, they beat them in a super over, I think it was. So they'll be looking to basically double that, back that up, and get that role continuing for them and go for five in a row. Kolkata Knight Riders will be trying to get a bit of consistency back. Another team that will be looking to get some consistency back is the Delhi Capitals. Now, they have actually been win-loss recently. So they'll want to get back on the horse and starting to get those Ws happening in a row. Sunrisers Hyderabad, now they are going to be kicking themselves after that loss to the Kings 11 Punjab, where they should have easily come home and won that one with a wet sail. So they'll be looking to pick themselves up and get a W there against the Delhi Capitals. Coming down the line, Mumbai Indians against the Royal Challengers Bangalore. Royal Challengers are falling off the pace a bit there. So the Mumbai Indians want to make sure that they cement their position into the at the top of the table. Chennai Super Kings. Kolkata Knight Riders will be disappointed if they lose this. They really need to start beating. So the top teams need to start consistently beating these bottom teams now and make sure they cement their positions in the top of the table. Kings 11 got a busy week coming up against and they play the Rajasthan Royals on Friday. And again, if they'll just want to keep that role going. Rajasthan Royals hit and miss now, and it's basically for them, I think it's a case of winning every game that they've got to play. Big game coming up, Delhi Capitals, Mumbai Indians. That'll be an interesting one Saturday morning to watch. And should be a good one if they actually fire on all cylinders, both teams. We look forward to that. Royal Challengers Bangalore against Sunrisers. Both of those teams will be looking to basically lift their game to make sure they're going to. And finally, Kings 11 looking the Super Kings against the Super Kings, looking to make sure they pick up an easy win there. And Super Kings looking to be spoilers now, I suppose, at this stage of the season. And finally, coming around to the Kolkata Knight Riders and Rajasthan Royals, which will wrap it up until our next show next week, when we'll bring you all the results for that. That's about it for the IPL. If we just go back to Plunkett Shield and what's coming up, we'll bring up the fixtures list. Starting in a couple of days' time, we will have Northern versus Otago. This is going to be played at Mount Maunganui. Obviously, Northern, after sort of giving a rather sort of soft declaration and win to Central, will be looking to for the Black Caps to perform, and hopefully they'll be hoping that they get 4 days of sunshine. It is in the Mount, so they'll be looking forward to hopefully getting that game completed in normally rather than with declarations and forfeited innings. Otago, on the other hand, they'll be looking for someone other than Michael Ripon to actually score some runs. So they'll be looking at your likes of Hamish Rutherford to actually get some time out there in the middle and get some runs on the board after a rather disappointing effort against the Aces at Eden Park. Auckland, they'll be going to Central. They won't have really get an idea of how Central are going with the rather sort of hurried, rushed match that Central played against Northern. They were able to get the outright there, but I don't think Auckland would have got any indications on how they'll need to perform against Central. For Auckland, they'll got that momentum. They got a great innings in the first inning, didn't have to bat again. They'll be looking for Ben Horne to repeat his time out in the middle, and looking for Martin Guptill and a couple of the other Black Caps hopefuls and Black Caps to put some good runs on the board. And they'll also be looking to for the bowlers to just carry on the work that they did, obviously bowling out Otago 186 and then, was it 56-54? They'll be looking to do that. Canterbury, Wellington gets a chance at revenge as it's a return match against Canterbury down in Christchurch this time. So they'll be looking to turn the tables. And again, they'll be looking for someone other than just Devin Conway to score some runs for them. And they're also looking to be a bit more penetrative with the ball, which obviously they struggled with a little bit in the at the Basin. So they're all matches kicking up on the 28th. So that's on Tuesday. So we look forward to those matches kicking off. So I think that's about it. I'll just have a quick squiz on the scores, see if there's anything. Oh, we've got the IPL playoff schedule announced, and I'll basically got the first quarter finals and the final of the IPL in 2020 will be played in Dubai on November the 5th and 10th respectively. That's the first quarter final, so qualifier and the final, and the eliminator will be between the teams placed third and fourth. So let's get this right. Well, the eliminator between third and fourth, and the eliminator, and then the winner of the eliminator will play the second qualifier, and will be played in Abu Dhabi on the 6th of November and the 8th. So the eliminator on the 6th, and then the second qualifier to play the eliminator winner on the 8th. All playoff matches will start at 7:30 p.m. That's the Indian Standard Time. So that's basically that'll be our morning, like we've had going in New Zealand anyway. Also, there's going to be all four matches for the Women's T20 Challenge, which will be played in Sharjah between the November the 4th and the 9th. Only the second of those four matches will start at 3:30 Indian Standard Time. It says 2 p.m. local time. I'm not sure who's 2 p.m. I'm guessing that Sharjah's 2 p.m. local time. So there we go. Qualifier one. So, yes, here we go. So it's all a bit, I probably haven't explained that the best. I'll give it another shot, actually, because I've got something up here that explains it a lot better. Here we go. Qualifier one, first place versus second place, November the 5th. The winner of that goes to the final. The eliminator, third and fourth playoff on the 6th of November. The winner of that gets to play the loser of qualifier one. So they go to qualifier two, which is the winner of the eliminator, loser of qualifier one. The winner of that will go into the final with the winner of qualifier one. Hopefully I've cleared that up with my real weird-ass explanation the first time around. And we just, anything else? That's about it, really. Nothing much else happening. I'm just going to have a look. Series, we go Pakistan versus Zimbabwe, which Simon's mentioned, starting on Friday. And those matches are actually going to be played in Pakistan in Rawalpindi. So that's starting, as I said, on the 30th of October. So we look forward to that. It's the first Firstly, an ODI. I'm just going to go. Yeah, an ODI. So we've got three ODIs followed by three T20s. And that's the series that will be played. So I haven't seen the squads. Let's see if I can bring up the squads here. Pakistan squad for the ODI is, I'm just thinking it'll probably be pretty similar to the one that played in England, which was their last series. Oh, yes, here we go. Babar Azam will be the captain once again. And we're looking through the, as I look through the list, and I'll bring that up. Babar Azam is captain, Shadab Khan as vice captain. And basically, if we go through there, pretty much the same players that have been in the ODIs in England that played there. So, though, not too many changes, I think, there. We'll have a chat. Hopefully, we can get Taz back on next Monday and we can talk about the game, because I'm sure he'll be keeping a keen eye on that. I won't know many of the Zimbabwe players at all, but we'll have a look and see. All right, there we go. Zimbabwe ODI squad. And basically, yep, as I expected, not many players that I really recognize, to tell you the truth. Alton Chigumbura is the name I recognize, but not too many others. So it'll be interesting to see how Zimbabwe go in Pakistan. So that's about all I've got for tonight. I'm just going to go have a look at QuickBuzz and see if there's anything popped up there. Usually find they're better for the news. There we go. Nothing here. Worked out a bit. Going through. Nope, nothing much happening there. So basically, Dhoni's saying, obviously, looking like the Sun Super King season now being over, they're going to be looking to give some of the younger guns in their team a bit of a go at the big time, which they probably should have been doing a long time ago, tell you the truth, to so that they actually got some experience and gave them a shot in this season. But nope, that's about it for Swinging from the Hip this week. It is, as I said, the holiday version as we return back from our long weekends in Labor Day in New Zealand. Guys, basically, actually, Sir Ruben's been with the Auckland A squad in Hamilton, actually, today as we speak. He's been helping out with the coach there with the Auckland A's against the Northern Districts A's in Hamilton. And the other guys have basically been taking advantage of the long weekend before they start their season, which will be kicking off next weekend. Not only juniors, but the senior club cricket competition kicks off next Saturday in Auckland. I assume it'll probably be across the country. It'll kick off next week, all the warm-up matches all over. So, yeah, the guys are out there enjoying it with their families before they spend every Saturday out in the sun. So hopefully we'll have the guys back again on Monday, particularly if we can get Taz back. It'll be good. Talk the Pakistan-Zimbabwe series. And, yeah, that's about it. So make sure you tune into the morning sports briefing tomorrow morning. Unfortunately, I won't be there tomorrow morning because I've got to go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, so won't be able to do the show tomorrow. But Paul will be there making sure you're kept up to date with the latest happenings in sport across the globe. It'll be Tuesday night, so I think they'll be driving more night as well. And we're talking all things rugby with the All Blacks versus the Wallabies coming up this weekend. Wednesday night, you're going to be looking at the league show, the standoff with Brad, and obviously be big talking point there with the NRL Grand Final, which was on last night, and he'll be going through what's happened there. And I suppose we'll see Friday, we'll see a preview of the test matches and the NPC games coming up over the weekend. So from me, for a Swinging from the Hip, we'll see you again next Monday, where you'll be getting your place for your cricketing fix right here on Swinging from the Hips on New Zealand Sport Radio. And we'll see you then. Thank you.
Mom.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.